Events in Canberra. I'm Hayley Channer, Senior Policy Fellow with the Perth US Asia Centre. Today I'm interviewing my friend, Dr. Tristan Moss. Tristan's Canberra connection is that he did his PhD at ANU and he's also moving to Canberra, but right now he's a senior lecturer in the Griffith Asia Institute in Queensland. Tristan's a historian researching Australian space history and the history of the Australian Defence Force with a focus on culture and policy. His current research focuses on a history of Australian space activities, and he's also working on a very interesting project, I think, a history of sex in the Australian military. Tristan, thank you so much for joining me.
Pleasure to be here.
So Tristan, I'm really excited to talk to you about your career and how you got to where you are now. You're the author or co-editor of a number of books on Australian military history. You authored Guarding the Periphery, the Australian Army in Papua New Guinea, and I'm really excited to read that book. And I wanted to find out what first attracted you to researching and writing about Australian military history.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people have an answer that involves some sort of history, a family history of service, which is not the case for me. My family happily managed to be
born. Avoid wars?
Yeah, be born at a time where they were too young or too old, which is quite good. But I'm interested in how institutions work. I'm interested in the way in which policy is converted to action on the ground. So it's all well and good to, say, read a white paper, but seeing how that played out on the ground and as the years go by, but also interested in the sort of cultural and sort of demographic influences on a particular institution. And militaries are nothing if not good at creating records, so it's very easy to study them. A lot of military historians start from the place as a kid that we like the big boys' toys. But realistically, it's seeing how this sort of national institution works, which is why I'm interested in the military and also why I'm interested in space, because those are both national endeavours that it's really interesting to unpick, not just what we do, but why we do it.
You also have conducted some of your work overseas in places like Papua New Guinea. Obviously, your book was focused on that, and I know you conducted field work there. A lot of people might have never had the opportunity to work overseas. They might have absolutely no idea what Pacific Island countries are like. But when you are researching for a book, what is it like to be in the field in Papua New Guinea? What would people expect if they were conducting field research there?
Yeah, I mean, so as a background, my book looked at the way in which the Australian Army essentially transformed what was a colonial army, so Australian officers and Papua New Guinea soldiers in the 1950s, into an independent PNG defence force in the 1970s. Of course, PNG was an Australian territory
I forget that. My gosh, that's so true.
But we forget. So up until 1975, so Papua, the one half of Papua New Guinea, was as much as Australian as the Northern Territory or the ACT. Legally, they were Australian citizens. There was a whole bunch of racist laws that meant they didn't have equal rights, but nonetheless, they were Australian citizens in the same way that someone living in Darwin was. It's really interesting to have looked at this institution that was at, on the one hand, part of the Australian Army. There were two battalions of Papua New Guinean soldiers. About 1 in 11 Papua New Guinean regular soldiers were Papua New Guinean in the Australian Army in the 1970s. But on the other hand, was seen as very foreign. So going to Papua New Guinea is really important because for a number of reasons. First of all, it brings in a Papua New Guinean voice to this history, which tends to be ignored. So when we write about, say, World War II, we tend to describe Papua New Guineans as people who have had history acted upon them rather than having agency. And so I interviewed lots of Papua New Guinean soldiers when I was there. That's really important. But also doing field work is really important for what military historians call walking the battlefield. So it's one thing
which sounds so good.
It does sound so good. But usually it's the hottest I've ever been.
I can only imagine.
Yeah, so your care factor goes down when it's 400 degrees. But it makes a big difference to be able to see the landscape and to see where things happened, and it makes a big difference for you to write things. You basically have a better sense of the landscape in your mind. And look, working the Pacific is a really interesting experience that not many people get because not many people go to PNG. It has a reputation. The people are wonderful. It is quite dangerous, particularly in Port Moresby. But the opportunities to work with and even in a small way understand Papua New Guinea. I do not pretend to understand that country because it's so complex and so diverse. Something like a third of the world's languages exist in PNG. But that, I think, made me a better scholar. It made me a better sort of it made me understand Australia's place in the region much more, because you see things like the way in Papua New Guineans see Australia, and the way in which they see our shared history. I think Australia tends to forget somewhere like PNG. We remember it every time China decides to take an interest, and indeed in the 80s we remembered it when the Russians took an interest. This has happened before.
And I bet they remember.
And they have a very interesting relationship with Australia. And I would describe it, just through my personal experiences, twofold. One, a very close relationship with Australians individually, but a scepticism of the Australian government for obvious reasons when it comes to things like aid and the broader Australian nation's approach to PNG. And so going there allows you to see that in a way that sort of reading about it from a distance doesn't.
You've had an incredible career already, so you've not only written about Papua New Guinea, but you've also worked on an official history of Australian operations in Afghanistan, Iraq, and East Timor. Is there a particular Australian military story or experience over history that stays with you more than another story?
Well, the stories around Afghanistan, Iraq, and East Timor will come out when those books are cleared and released to the public, because for those who don't know, Australia's had a series of official histories in which an official historian has written about each war we've been to. And the idea there is that historians get access to these files prior to their release under the 20-year rule. And so it's also classified.
So you're in a special position, trusted position.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how much trust there was, but but certainly you have access to files. So my job was, as a researcher, I wasn't the official historian by any means, was to go out to various government departments in Canberra, and we went to NATO and The Hague and Whitehall, and talk to people who were in Afghanistan. My focus was on Afghanistan, and look at those files and help build this history. And it was a really interesting insight into the way that the ADF and defence and other parts of government see history and use history, and then see how these institutions saw their image publicly, and it was an opportunity to see the difference between all those different elements of the Australian Defence Force and the government at large, and the way that they saw their history.
It's pretty important, I think, that the government does support official histories of conflict, because in the moment, I mean, there's the fog of war, right? And you get a lot of media reporting, and then people are, you know, when the war is over, people sort of move on to the next thing. So the work that you did is extremely important, and I thank you for it. And finally, Tristan, I wanted to find out, what's your advice for somebody early career who's thinking about a career as a historian, or thinking about doing some further learning on how to understand and know about history? What kind of advice would you give someone in that position, and how can history just help or enrich any career?
I think the important thing when we're talking about academia and academic study in general is that there are two parts to the learning process. One is the content itself. You might say, learn about World War II. Okay, great. You've learned about what happened in 1941 or what have you, and that might be very interesting. But also you're at the same time learning a very important set of skills about analysing data, analysing information, about reading, about synthesising, about writing. And so it's important when people think about history not to think, oh, well, why do I need to know about the Roman Empire? Why do you also need to know certain skills? And they are very useful. And actually, if you tease out some of the degrees that people have done in the Australian Public Service, a lot of them are historians or political scientists because of the really fantastic analytical skills that this gives you. In terms of advice, if you want to become an academic historian or a historian at a public institution in Australia, or indeed to do your PhD and you want to continue at your public service job, the advice is, look, understand the difficulties of academia. I think everyone should go into it with open eyes. It is very hard. It can be quite lonely. It's very self-directed. I don't want to scare anyone. But equally, there are, as hopefully I've shown you today, academics are happy to talk. And so there's lots of sort of willingness on academics to help you through that process if you reach out. And finding a decent mentor, if you're going to go down that sort of PhD path, is really important. And I know so many sort of senior members of the public service or defence forces who've come back and done PhDs because they love that environment, they love that learning process, and then they've gone back to their careers, and I think better for it. So there's a lot of opportunities there.
Tristan, it is such a pleasure speaking with you. I really appreciate you sharing your own personal reflections in Papua New Guinea, talking about your new research projects, and also sharing your advice for people thinking about a pathway such as yours. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much.